Luke 10, 36 to 37. What do you think? Which of the three became a neighbor to the man attacked by robbers? Well, the one who treated him kindly, the religion scholar responded. Jesus said, "Go and do the same." Acts 10, 4 to 6. Cornelius stared hard, wondering if he was seeing things. And then he said, "Well, what do you want, sir?" The angel said, "Your prayers and neighborly acts have brought you to God's attention. Here's what you are to do. Send men to Joppa to get Simon, the one everyone calls Peter. He is staying with Simon the Tanner, whose house is down by the sea." 1 Peter 2:12. Live an exemplary life in your neighborhood so that your actions will refute their prejudices.
It's Friday night, and I'm sitting on our back deck just down the street, and voices from the six-unit apartment building right next to us float through our fig trees, and I'm sitting there just enjoying the sounds of the neighborhood when suddenly loud shouts come from the direction of the CMCL parking lot. Now, we hear shouts often in the city, people arguing with one another or whatever. And so it didn't seem that all unusual, but this time the shouts continued, and I kept thinking, what should I do? Should I walk down or not? After about 10, 15 minutes, I went inside, and when I went inside, I noticed in front of our house on Orange Street, there were lights flashing. So I went out our front door, and there were four police cars parked on Orange Street right in front of our house. I looked down the street, and there was a fifth one parked right in front of CMCL. I went back inside quickly, got my socks on and my shoes, and said, "I'm going to go down and investigate. It's time to do something." But unfortunately, by the time I got out the front door and ready to go down, the policemen were entering their cars and preparing to leave. So I never found out what that was all about. There has been shouting since then, quite often. In fact, I was the object of one. I'm not going to go into that story. Just the other night, for about 15 minutes. And one of those situations where, should I go up to them, or should I just keep my distance? In this case, it appeared to maybe be drugs or something. It's difficult to live out these verses in the neighborhood in the city of Lancaster. It's difficult. And I wonder, our scriptures this morning invite us to treat our neighbor kindly, like the Good Samaritan, and to do neighborly acts like Cornelius. One of the things that really fascinates me about Cornelius and about God's relationship with him is that the one thing that caused God to pay attention to Cornelius besides prayer was what? His neighborly acts. That's what caused God That's what caught God's attention. 40 years ago, those of you who began CMCL chose this neighborhood to be your neighbor. The booklet celebrating CMCL's 25th anniversary states that the charter members in 1985 desired to be an urban presence responding to human need on both global levels and local levels. We may hear more about this in the coming weeks as we explore how CMCL began, who we are today, and who we want to become in the future. But one of the things that it sounds to me like in that little anniversary booklet is that we began, this church began with a desire to respond to human needs in our neighborhood. So it seemed appropriate before we begin that series the next few Sundays to just stop and pause and think about our neighborhood and our neighbors and what type of neighbor we want to be in this neighborhood. CMCL is at a unique point in its history. Those of you who began CMCL 40 years ago, you are now 40 years older. I don't know if there is such a thing for churches or not, but if there is such a thing as midlife for a church, maybe CMCL is kind of entering midlife. Midlife is a great time for the older ones to withdraw and not be involved. That's not what happens here at CMCL. And that's not a good thing either. What I see happening here at CMCL is those of you who began this 40 years ago and others who are here in the older generations, including myself, who's getting that direction rapidly, you encourage, you stay involved, you stay connected by encouraging, supporting, offering wisdom, cheerleading, and assisting the next generations as they pick up the vision and make it their own. And that's a gift to this congregation. So let's think about the CMCL neighborhood. And as we talk about this neighborhood, I want you to also think about your neighborhood. For Judy and I, this is the first time that we have lived in the same neighborhood as the church. We've always tried to live close enough that we could walk, but this is the first time that we lived in the actual block. And it's different when you live in the same block. When you have 25 households, I counted them in this half block, all and a church sharing a half block with all of our backyards nearly touching one another, there's going to be times when you get annoyed with one another. For example, I get annoyed when neighbors play loud music, when cigarette smoke drifts into our open windows, when dogs run freely in our backyard with no one cleaning up, when people stand in front of our house at 2 o'clock in the morning talking and laughing loudly, when parallel parkers bump and bounce off the front or back of our vehicle while parking, and it happens often, when our vehicle is totaled by a hit and run driver, and then our second vehicle, or later on the one we replaced, also almost got totaled or should have got totaled with a repair bill of over $13,000. And in the garage for 3 months. To be honest, there have been times when Mr. Rogers' song felt more like, I never wanted to have a neighbor like you. And I never wanted to live in a neighborhood with you. When we moved from the suburbs of New Holland to our house on Orange Street 10 years ago, we were unloading our U-Haul truck, and we left two of our dining room chairs on the front sidewalk. Wasn't more than 10 or 15 minutes, at least I didn't think. I went out a little bit later to fetch them and discovered there was a lady who had loaded them into her back car, the back of her car, and was ready to drive off. And I thought, what? Is this what we're getting into, moving into the city of Lancaster? People steal our stuff in broad daylight? Except she wasn't stealing. She was just simply helping herself to something that was left on the sidewalk, unattended, and assumed to be free. And to be honest, 10 years later, I do that sometimes. During our first couple of years, I did a lot of complaining to Judy about our neighbors. And then one of the young adults, we've had young adults living with us ever since we moved here. We have a community. And one of the young adults said, you know what we should do? Because he heard me also complaining. We need to start on Wednesday nights inviting one of our neighbors over for a meal. So we tried to do that, and we were successful several times, but scheduling is difficult. But something really changed when we did that. We got to know the neighbors, and even those that really, really annoyed us. And Mr. Rogers' words began to ring true. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? Won't you be my neighbor? We love living in this neighborhood. We love the sound of children playing across the street at Fulton Elementary. It's just like music. It's just far enough away that you hear them laughing and the shouts of scream, the fun screams of laughter as they play in the playground. We love the feeling of never being alone, surrounded by a community of musicians and lawyers and immigrants, young adults, families, elderly, and lots of churches on practically every corner. When I get annoyed or irritated with a neighbor, what I try to do now first, instead of complaining to Judy, is I try to find a way that I can talk to our neighbor and learn to know them. But as I said earlier, it's difficult because we live in such a rapid pace of life. German sociologist Hartmut Rosa calls it social acceleration. He writes, one would think that with all the advances in technology and communication and transportation and AI, that we would have all types of extra time to build relationships and community. Instead, we spend all of our free time trying to live faster, adapt more quickly, and keep pace with the ever-accelerating world around us. Instead of coming closer to one another, we feel more distant and divided. And this constant acceleration leads us to a shrinking of the present moment, where we are no longer present with ourselves or with one another. As I was thinking about this, the word lingering came to mind. And so I started Googling it and discovered that there's a man who was born in South Korea, Byung-Chul Han, who is now a philosopher living in Germany. And he wrote The Scent of Time, S-C-E-N-T, of time, a philosophical essay on the art of lingering. And I thought, wow, I got to read this. So he argues that our modern obsession with activity and constant productivity has led to a crisis of time, robbing us of the capacity to linger. The art of lingering is slowing down, pausing, engaging in detours. When we linger in the present moment, it allows for the gathering of time where the past and the future are infused with the present moment with meaning and purpose. So I've been trying lingering. Try it in your neighborhood. It's interesting. I've been thinking about Jesus. As a 12-year-old, he lingered for 3 days in the temple. His parents weren't real happy about it. He lingered with the woman at the well, the fishermen, Martha and Mary, Zacchaeus, and the list would go on. But the other thing that I began thinking about is every time he lingered, something just as significant happened as when he performed miracles to the people who he lingered with. Judy and I recently camped at Gifford Pinchot for a night. Our campsite was right by the lake. It was perfect weather with a beautiful sunset over the lake. The campsite next to us had a better view than what our campsite did of the sunset. So I walked over to that campsite, and there was an elderly gentleman there who was camping alone. And I walked over to him and I said, would you mind if I take some pictures from your campsite? Because it's better than what mine was. And he said, sure. And then as we watched the sunset together for a few minutes, we lingered together, and I discovered that he grew up in Philadelphia, got extremely tired of the rapid pace of life there, moved south to Tennessee, where the pace of life was slower. And he was on his way to New York City to pick up his son so that he could go up to Lake George and spend several days lingering with his son. And I thought, wow, there are so many places and ways and people that we can linger with. A partner, a child, a grandchild, a parent, neighbors, friends. One of the things I love about our neighborhood is all I have to do is go out our front door or out our backyard, and there's someone to linger with over a fence, on a front porch, on the sidewalk. If you live outside the city, which we did for much of our lives, it could be more difficult. But you could always come here to linger. How about the chairs on this beautiful landscape corner of our parking lot? Beautiful place to linger. Or the memorial garden. Or the front steps, if you really want to get bold, and say hi to neighbors walking by. One of the things I did at Laurel Street as a pastor, since we didn't live there, we could walk there, but is that I would sit on the steps of the actually, they owned the house right across the street from Laurel Street Mennonite Church. And so I would either sit inside with the door wide open and or sit, take my chair outside on the sidewalk and sit out there and just have conversation with people as they walked by. Lingering nearly always leads to treating our neighbors kindly and doing neighborly acts. 2 weeks ago during service Sunday, we did a lot of things that treated our neighbors kindly and did neighborly acts in our neighborhood. And also with one another. We actually lingered with one another. And around the world, we do a lot of lingering at this church with one another. With one another, we moved furniture and supplies for Christian Ed. We wrote notes to the young adults who are probably receiving them or have received them by now. We made cards which will be used to inspire and encourage and bring hope to others. We contributed food and prepared an amazing taco bar. And then we enjoyed eating together with lots of conversation and fellowship and lingering together. We weeded the Parrot Gallery courtyard, and it looks beautiful. We had our staff meeting in there on Thursday, and it's beautiful. We washed windows, and we cared for children in the fishbowl. We also did some things for around the world. We knotted comforters that will be sent to MCC. We assembled school kits for our neighbors around the world. And then in our immediate neighborhood, we chalked the walks. This week I've enjoyed walking by and admiring and enjoying them. Unfortunately, most of it has disappeared a week later. Or is this 2 weeks later? 2 weeks later. We built a little food pantry. And there was a lot of brainstorming about how we can serve our community through that. We decorated and wrote on lunch bags that will be distributed by Meals and Wheels. We cleaned a neighbor's backyard who have expressed their appreciation. They sent us a card expressing their overwhelming gratitude for the generous gifts of time, effort, and hard work, and for blessing us with such good neighbors. And we picked up trash and weeded the rain gardens. And as Judy and I walked around, we've enjoyed looking at those rain gardens and how nice they look. So that's really not all of the things that we do in our community. CMCL also serves a monthly breakfast, cares for school children each morning with Moose, provides housing in the Grant Street apartment. We host various meetings here in this building for the community and also art shows. We interact in many ways with our neighborhood and our community. So, whatever neighborhood we find ourselves in, whatever neighborhood you find yourself in, Landis Homes, that would be an interesting neighborhood. That's a good neighborhood. My mother lived there for many years. I didn't mean interesting in a bad way. And as I look at all your faces, there's so many places where we live. So here at church or in our home neighborhood, the scriptures invite us to be intentional about treating our neighbors kindly, doing neighborly acts, and maybe thinking about making new friends by lingering with our neighbors, with our family, and with our friends.